at the Boehringer Ingelheim VetMedica PERS Area Regional Control and Elimination Seminar. I'm visiting with Dr. Eric Newman. And I guess, first of all, tell me where you're from and what you do.
I'm working at Massey University in New Zealand. I'm a veterinary epidemiologist, but a veterinarian first and foremost by training. Grew up in Illinois from a farm, spent about 15 years in the U.S. pig industry as a veterinarian in production and working for National Pork Board.
Well, you had a fascinating presentation here titled Unreasonable Expectations and looking at some of the human disease eradication initiatives, and generally have failed, as I learned, and even a couple of those, I don't think I really knew that. What are some of the takeaways from here, from what you kind of saw looking at these different programs over the years, and how do we apply that then to what we're talking about here with PERS?
Right, there's six or eight key diseases that the public health doctors around the world have gotten themselves organized to try to eradicate. And some people would know, like smallpox, measles, polio, encephalitis, encephalomyelitis, and some ones that people wouldn't normally recognize, like a disease called yaws. If you look back over the history of that, most of them have been expensive and difficult failures, with a single exception to that rule, and that being smallpox. But I think whenever you've got sort of a competing industry, if you will, the public health sector as opposed to the veterinary health, it's useful, I think, periodically to look at the other side of the world and see what they're doing and what lessons you can take away. So as I was sort of reviewing the literature and seeing what I thought might be key messages to bring back to pig disease eradication and what might have specific application to PERS, a couple of the things that I think are worth mentioning. One, these tend to be very long processes, a long period of time, decades of work getting ready for an eradication program. But the eradication phase themselves, if they're going to be successful, tend to be a 10 to 15 year period. The ones that they've tried to eradicate in and have been failures have been sustained eradication programs that have tried to last 30 or 40 years. So it tells us, right, if you do your homework, investigate the disease thoroughly, monitor as you go along, you do have a reasonable chance of eradicating some of these diseases. PERS virus specifically has some unique characteristics in the human world, maybe related best to polio or measles, in that PERS tends to be highly infectious, reasonably contagious, and has this real difficulty of a long persistent infection. So even though animals appear to be recovered or by a certain test, a PCR test, for example, the animal seems to be negative, we know at least a small proportion of the population in an infected population will always have a bit of virus in them. So when we move these animals around, they're always at a persistent risk of starting a new outbreak somewhere else. And that's sort of the message I think we need to remember, is diagnostic tests are not infallible. The key diseases, I think, that they pulled out of the human world, or at least making progress on, all had important individual human champions for those diseases. In some cases, they were martyrs. Right? Their programs failed, but at least a single champion, a person you could associate with the disease. And another characteristic was there was a benefactor, somebody that could support that eradication effort as a clean, disconnected funding or advocacy group that wasn't necessarily tied to the outcome. A classic example of that is Rotary International's involvement in funding the latest stages of the polio eradication, right? It's a public good investment for them, and they're what's making the polio program go right now. It's not WHO, it's not governments, it's Rotary International that's making polio go at the moment.
Well, there were a couple of things that I think I kept seeing come up. One word that stuck out was surveillance, for example, and I guess how that program was being, I don't know, monitored, or they were checking on certain for certain things that would give them an indication where they really were at the end point or not, as you said, where it becomes real difficult. And then funding, of course, seemed to be a kind of a common issue too.
Yeah, two important points I think you've raised. One is what I call the anti-Pareto effect in my talk, that being in most cause and effect problems that we try to work our way through as veterinarians, as an example, we tend to think of where's the low-hanging fruit. In other words, if I can take care of 20% of the most important causes, I'll get rid of 80% of the problems. looks like, in the case of most eradication programs, it's an anti-Pareto effect. In other words, we can get rid of 99% of the cases, not just 80, but 99% of the cases, often without that sort of sustained, complicated effort. It's the last 1% that make the difference. And 1% comes down to, number one, a very big challenge to find them, and two, it relates back to this question of surveillance that you talked about. So we've had good talks today on surveillance by various people. Got lots of tools with PERS, maybe even to the point where it's information overload. And that certainly got mentioned as well, that we don't need more information, I just need the right information. So diagnostics are going to continue to be a challenge for this organism, even though we've already got very good ones in front of us.
So is there anything, well, for what you see being done to try to control and perhaps hopefully eliminate this PERS virus, are we headed in the right direction? Are we doing some of the right things then?
I like where this industry is at the moment. I'm concerned that we may not have enough diverse thinking people contributing widely enough to a spectrum of answers. Maybe the quote that I offered earlier in terms of if the only tool you have is a hammer, all problems start to look like a nail. And with PERS, I think we know a lot about how to take PERS out of a single farm. We know roles for vaccine as an example, but that's sort of the tools at the moment. Let's clean up trucks. We'll try to drive it out of farms which we know we can do, and then sort of hope for the best in terms of a regional eradication program. So I don't want to undermine the good efforts that are going on in terms of these producer-driven elimination projects, because it certainly looks like they're making huge effort on collaboration, getting producers to disclose their status, trying to get them to work together in terms of isolating sick animals to one part of a production region and free animals to another part of the region. But I still think there's broader thinking that can happen in this industry, and more tools that can be developed and be useful. So the research aspect needs to continue. Creative thinking needs to happen. But I like where we're at, but we're not ready for a national eradication program. But the step toward regional elimination programs was exactly the right thing. It'll tell us whether we can do this or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, we put together programs like this and get a lot of folks like you here, and maybe that's where a lot of that creative thinking will start to come to the surface. So thank you very much, Dr. Eric Newman, who is one of our presenters here. That's at the BI PERS Area Regional Control and Elimination Seminar. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.